This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O God. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see them for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole world. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. October 28th, 1992. May 21st, 2011. September 11th through the 13th, 1988. And the list of dates are much more numerous. So what do these dates have in common? So we'll get back to that in a minute. But today we gather on the very first day of December, happened to work that way, and it's also the first day of Advent and the first day of the Christian calendar. We start with Advent, not January 1st. And it is a time to center our hearts on the virtue of hope. Hope. Hope for a Savior, whom we know to be Jesus Christ the Messiah, and hope, hope for the coming of Christ to earth again. This man, God, we call Jesus, came to earth as a humble baby. He came in humility to save humanity. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hope fulfilled and hope to come. The expectation of when heaven and earth are one and Jesus returns. We call it the Christ second coming, whenever that may be. Whenever that may be. And Mark 13:32 reminds us, quote, "But nobody knows when that day or hour will come, not the angels in heaven and not the Son, only the Father knows," end quote, from the Gospel of Mark. You see, from a biblical perspective, hope is not focused on a desire or a want for something like often in the secular world. You know, I hope for this, I hope for that. But instead, it's more of an expectation of a favorable future under God's direction. Hope. And today, the first Sunday in Advent, we focus on the hope and expectation of a Savior, the birth of Jesus, the celebration of the new covenant. And it all began with a baby in a manger. You know, before the Messiah was revealed, God breathed his word through the prophets, and I believe he still breathes through people today. And our passage this morning from the prophet Jeremiah shared the message that the Lord will fulfill his promise. The bloodline of David will bring about the coming of a Savior, one whose day is coming, one who brings justice and righteousness to the world. But before that occurs, we're to have chaos and destruction. Yikes. You know, and together, let's face it, we wrestle with that tension of what is and what will be, right? And the season of Advent is a reminder of God's righteousness makes all things new again and again and again. And that is hope. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, now and in the day that he comes again. So what's with those dates I shared? October 28th, 1992, May 21st, 2011, and September 11th through the 13th, 1988. Those are just three dates in our modern history that were predicted for when Jesus would come again. There's a scholar, Julian Spriggs, did a research paper. I found this on the topic of Jesus' coming again and discovered there's over 300 dates in history in which people of various faith traditions and belief systems predicted the second coming of Jesus and the end of the world. Even though the Bible tells us, nobody knows the time. And all these dates range from like the first century through the 21st century. It's nothing new. You know, we can be such silly humans. How arrogant can we be to define such a time as this when Jesus didn't even know the time of his own second coming? Exclamation point. Actually, that's better, I'm sure. He said, amen. When he walked this earth, he didn't even know. So I'm sure you remember hearing these predictions in mainstream news somewhere, you know. And, you know, we can't blame people for being so passionate about their beliefs and what's to come in the future, but perhaps we should focus more on how we live our lives now. Now. And this morning in this responsive reading we had in the part of the 25th Psalm, I love the Psalms, and I encourage you to read that entire chapter, 25, on your own. Such wise words to live by at all times, but especially when we walk this journey to Bethlehem over the next 4 weeks. And I pray that you do so with fresh eyes and fresh hearts for how many Christmases you've celebrated. Make it new. Make it new. The psalmist reminds us to be humble before God, not arrogant. Ask the Lord, he says, to teach us, to lead us in truth, to help us, O God, to keep our covenant with you like you've kept with us. We are called to trust God and allow his righteousness to just blanket us in love and compassion so that it empowers us to do the same towards others. Like my husband and I say every morning, go out and let your soul shine. Share it with others. What a beautiful message as we wait with expectation and hope. Doomsday preppers. Have you heard of this? Where people stockpile resources and plan for the worst happening in the world? I see some nods out there. The prepper movement started in the 1960s around that Cold War era, right? It was kind of that survivalist mode and cultural and natural disasters, nuclear war, all this. And some do this also to help ease the anxiety of the end of times when Jesus returns. Well, I don't think it's easy to eat cans of soup or MREs will be needed when Jesus comes again, but it could be in your pack. My husband is, Paul, I told him I was going to call him out today. He is what we call a prepper or a readiness person, but he's smart about it. His motives are to be prepared for any what-if scenarios. You know, his is not of the doomsday flavor, but it's aligned with what sometimes stupid humans can do in this world, which can affect us all. It's good to prepare tangibly, to protect our families and to be ready for anything. But more profoundly, though, and with eternal consequences, we prepare our hearts for the coming of Christmas and for when Christ comes again. And it all began with a baby in a manger. Our gospel reading this morning was scary sounding, wasn't it? I read that a few times. I prayed over it. I'm like, whew. In Luke, Jesus shares the signs that we may see and how the feelings of fear we may have and foreboding will be strong when he comes again. You know, the seas, the earth, all shaking and everybody in distress. Wow. How many of you have heard of or perhaps even said that the end of times was near today? Today. With this crazy weather, increasing wars and turmoil, and even the COVID pandemic, I heard that a lot. I'm a hospital chaplain at Ochsner, and during the COVID, everyone was like, it's the end of times, it's the end of times, you know. Well, I don't want to debate that this morning, whether it's the true end of times and the coming of Christ. Instead, I want to focus on what Luke said about being prepared. You might call it a holy prepper, if you will. He said, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life. He continues, be alert. Pray for strength. And the passage in 1 Thessalonians follows suit by encouraging us to, quote, earnestly pray for renewed and restored faith, fill our hearts where our faith is lacking, and strengthen our hearts in holiness. Wow. Don't you want that? I do. So let's focus on these instead. If we live our lives now in love and in truth, abiding by God's word, then we can live in that divine hope as we settle into the expectation of God's fulfilling his promise of Jesus' return. No need to be scared. But I love scary movies, don't you? Think of a scary movie that you've watched before for the first time. And you may have felt that fear, that anxiety, that tension about what's to come and when it's going to happen around the next corner, right? And then the next time you watch that same movie, the anxiety was less, right? The fear was less. And you accepted that anxious anticipation. And so with anticipation, expectation, we may not know the end, the exact time of when Christ comes again to reconcile heaven and earth, but we are resolved and comforted to know the rest of the story. Much like when we watched that scary movie a second time, we knew what was to come. We felt confident in that. So by living Christ-like now and striving for holiness now, we can have joy-filled hope because we win in the end. And it all began with a baby. So Jesus uses metaphors and parables, right, in all of his teaching. And I love the dichotomy in Jesus' message of the signs to come. You know, those scary, distressing ways that the earth will shake, the seas will roar, indicating when Jesus will come again. But then there's also a softer, hopeful side of the signs of expectation. And Jesus spoke of the fig tree. Those subtle expressions that summer is to come when the fig trees begin to bud and sprout leaves. And from this sign of growth and renewal, we take pause and expectation of a change of season and the fruit to come. Likewise, Jesus assures us that when we see and experience these things taking place, the signs, whatever they may be, then the kingdom of God is near. Heaven and earth will pass away and become one, reconciled. Jesus returns. And it all began with a baby in a manger. We are called to be prepared, to be alert, not afraid, not afraid. And personally, this is Tiffany speaking. I've always felt the people who were so worried and fret the most about when Jesus will come again are probably those who are least spiritually prepared. But only God knows that. No judgment. You may have heard of Oswald Chambers. He's most known for a devotional. I see some hands here. He was an early 20th century Scottish Baptist evangelist and teacher, and he kind of aligned with the holiness movement. And he's known for this devotional that he writes, My Utmost for His Highest. You might have heard that. But I like, no matter if you've heard him or not, he said this quote, and I really like how he said this. Chambers said, the only way to wait for the second coming is to watch what you do, what you should do, so that when he comes, it's a matter of indifference. Well, I don't know about indifference, but I think there will be more fanfare and emotion. But essentially, he's saying, if we follow Christ and emulate him in all that we do and all that we say, then this season of repentance, watching, and waiting need not be like the scary movie scene. You know what's to come. There should be no fear. We should look forward in hopeful expectation and continue to do God's will in our lives and share the good news of Jesus Christ now. God in the flesh was born, lived, died, and was resurrected all in love and for our salvation. Likewise, he will come again and bring eternal life. Luke 21 says, raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And that, my friends, is hope fulfilled. Like the fig tree budding, we live in hope and devoted expectation, preparing the arrival of Jesus our Savior. From his birthday to his coming again with the saints and angels. Advent. Advent is a time to prepare our hearts for Christmas. The coming of the Lord. And ultimately, God is the basis of all our hope, friends. Pouring out his love and kindness through the Holy Spirit. And it all began with that baby in a manger. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we just give thanks for Jesus our Savior. Yes, indeed. And we continue to pray earnestly for strength, for restored faith, to fill in all the crevices of our soul that does not have you first, God. Give us that hope, the devoted hope, as we prepare our hearts in expectation for the birth of Christ yet again. Freshen our hearts and freshen our minds to know and to feel the presence of Christ in new ways during this Advent season. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.